Last night I heard this politician talking about his brand new mission. Liked his plans, but they came undone when he got around to God and guns. I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. 'Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns keep us strong. That's what this country was founded on. Well, we might as well give up and run if we let them take our God and guns. Yeah, I'm here in my neck of the woods where God is great and guns are good. You really can't know that much about them if you think we're better off without them. Oh, there was a time we ain't forgot. You could rest all night with your doors on. Your prayers and you thank the Lord for that peacemaker in the dresser drawer. God and God.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism.
And good Sunday afternoon to you, princes and princesses of patriotism. It's Sunday. That means it's Soldiers of Patriotism time. And we've got a great show lined up today for you, Uncle Bing and I. We've got, speaking of God and guns, amen, we got a pistol on with us today. My buddy from down in southeast corner of Texas, my buddy Patriot Shar, she's going to talk to us about smart meters, along with John Marler and Curtis Bennett. I'm going to bring Bing on here in just a few seconds, and we'll open up the show, and then we'll bring on our guest. We've already got phone calls stacking up. Donald Wilson from just a little east of me in the Dallas County area has called in. She's going to be a part of the show today as well. Folks, I'd like to do my editorial for you that I wrote earlier this week. Had a lot on my mind. As Ayn Rand once said, I think, therefore I think. Sometimes I wished I didn't think so much. Because when I think my head's going to explode. So I think right now, I'm going to do my editorial for you. It's called September's History, When the Summer's Heat Turns to Autumn's Chill. Texas, unlike other states, has a history in which we not only celebrate the fight for independence from tyranny in our shared American history, but celebrates a history in which the grandchildren of those American patriots themselves fought for independence from tyranny here in Texas. As any of you who follow my rants and diatribe of the current administration and direction that we find our country in know, I'm a history buff and a proud son of the Republic of Texas. Just as I find inspiration in those writings of Madison, Adams, Jefferson, and the like, so too do I find inspiration and motivation in the writings of Houston, Jones, Austin, and many Texas founding fathers that includes my fourth great-grandfather, General George Whitfield Terrell. In thinking about this past week of mid-September 2012, and that shared history that as an American and a Texan I'm so proud of, I have seated myself to conclude a few lines of thought and draw inspiration and motivation from a particular history that I hope will once again serve to show that under overwhelming odds, righteousness can overcome, good can prevail over evil, liberty can lay waste to tyranny, and that it is the very blood that courses through our veins that makes us the fighters we're born to be. Yet at the same time, a history that proves we must always stay vigilant. For as long as humankind exists, liberty and tyranny will forever be at war. With the week that is now behind us, a week in which we remembered over 3,000 American souls that were murdered on September 11, 2001, a week that on that very day of mourning, we Americans saw attacks on our embassies in Libya and Egypt, a week in which more Americans lost their lives by the Islamo-fascist, and the continuation of a failed presidency that I find an insult to the very foundation upon which our founding fathers built our country. I thought about September and the Mexican invasions of 1842. Although Texas had fought and won her independence and signed the Treaty of Alaska, Mexico refused to recognize Texas' independence. Ever since Antonio Santa Anna suffered his humiliating defeat at San Jacinto, he was determined to recapture Texas. The Republic constantly feared a Mexican invasion, and on October 6, 1841, Santa Anna had regained full power in Mexico. Shortly after reassuming control in Mexico, Santa Anna ordered General Mario Arista to immediately start harassing the Texans and dispatch an expedition against San Antonio. Arista ordered up 400 to 500 cavalry troops and placed them under the command of General Rafael Vasquez, whom he instructed to take it captive in regards to San Antonio, or put it to the knife should it suffer or should it offer resistance. By early March 1842, San Antonio was once again under occupation by Mexican troops numbering from 6 to 1,000 strong. General Terrell wrote two letters that month, one to Sam Houston from outside of San Antonio, in which he said, "The Mexican flag could be seen flying from the church steeple, and a most humiliating sight it was to a true-hearted Texan to behold." He furthermore wrote to General Andrew Jackson, "I visited this hallowed spot a few days since, and again found it occupied by the same ruthless and degenerate people whose atrocious enormities are without parallel in the annals of civilized warfare." Arista had written the Mexican Secretary of War, "The national flag is once again flying over the city of Bejar, and the Mexican eagles are again today treading the soil they have been deprived of for the length of 6 years." It did not take long for President Houston to declare an emergency and mobilize the Texans under the command of Colonel Alexander Somerville, later yielded to General Edward Burleson. The Texas volunteers came from all across the country to San Antonio to repulse the invasion of the Mexican regulars, only to find they had fled when they knew of the impending battle that the Texans would besiege upon them. The Mexicans continued sporadic raids into Texas throughout the remainder of 1842, and as spring turned to summer and summer into autumn, the Texans would once again find themselves invaded by a large contingent of Mexican regulars. And coincidentally, on the 11th of September, 1842, a Mexican army of 12,000 led by General Adrian Wall once again captured San Antonio. By the 17th of September, 200 Texans had gathered at Cibolo Creek and marched to Salado Creek under the command of Matthew Caldwell. The next day, a company of scouts went to San Antonio to lure the Mexicans into a fight, which became known as the Battle of Salado Creek. And by September 20th, Wall was retreating back to Mexico. The Texans by this time had run out of patience, and by September 24th, a large force of volunteers had gathered at San Antonio, and plans were made for the Somerville expedition as a punitive measure, led by Colonel Alexander Somerville, for the raids on San Antonio. The year would end with the expedition chasing the Mexicans south to Laredo, where they recaptured the town, and then further south to Rio Grande, where the expedition was ordered to return home. As a single month goes in the annals of history, September has not only seen the tragedy of September 11, 2001, But it also saw the First Continental Congress Assembly in Philadelphia on September 5th, 1774. It saw the Treaty of Paris signed on September 3rd, 1783 by John Adams, Ben Franklin, and John Jay, formally ending the American Revolutionary War between Britain and the United States. It saw Frederick Douglass begin his escape from slavery on September 3rd, 1838, as well as 9 African-American students enrolled at Central High School in Little Rock, Arkansas, that escalated into the Little Rock Crisis that gave cause to President Eisenhower to send in the 101st Airborne on September 24, 1957. It saw the treaty at Bird's Fort, penned by my fourth great-grandfather, with the indigenous nations of the Delaware, Chickasaw, Waco, Tawakani, Keechee, Cato, Anadaka, Ioni, Biloxi, and Cherokee. Yet it also saw the capture of Geronimo in 1886. There is just but a small example of some of the history that our country has seen when the summer's heat turns to autumn's chill. It is a history full of many great accomplishments and many horrible failures. It is a history that fought tyranny and found freedom, freed slaves, yet murders its unborn. But it is our history, and it should serve as an ever-vigilant reminder that freedom is fragile and carries with it responsibility. Our history is also a reminder that overwhelming odds can be overcome. I think for me one of the greatest contrasts of our September history is during the War of 1812. The British once again tried to impose their brand of tyranny on the United States from September 13th through the 14th in 1814, in which the British Navy bombarded Fort McHenry. And a young American lawyer, author, and poet penned a poem. That holds a coveted spot in my heart for the country I love. And you all know him as Francis Scott Key. That's my editorial, and I'm sticking to it. Let me bring in my brother Bing here. How's it going, brother Bing?
I'm fine, man. Fine as wine. You talk about Sam Houston, and another great quote I like was, "A leader is someone who helps improve the lives of other people or improve the system they live under." And it seems to me like this president doesn't think that he's living under the same system that the rest of us do.
No, I think you're right, Bing. And, people are probably wondering about my rant and my train of thought, but that's a prime example after everything that happened this last week, that invasion, those invasions of 1842 and how the Texans reacted. Is a fine example of what we're going through right now in those Middle Eastern countries. And we've got a pansy in the White House that's going to pussyfoot around with these people. It's not going to have any good outcome for us, I'm afraid.
Well, when you know, we should have seen this coming when the guy gets in and he's going around shaking hands and kissing the feet of dictators, you know, despots and so on. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't really surprise me. It just, you know, I mean, this is not about a movie. This is just basically about the right or the fact that they want to kill us.
Yep, absolutely.
They want to destroy the U.S. and they want to kill us. That's it.
Well, yeah, sadly, that is the truth. Let's go ahead and I need to make a phone call. So, Bing, let's go ahead and bring in Patriot and John. And while we bring them in, I'm going to folks, we've got three great guests today. We've got Patriot Char, we've got John Marler, and we've got Curtis Benning, whom I'm about to call. I've got John on hot. Patriot, is that you at 281?
That's me.
Okay. Hey, guys, I'm going to duck out for just a minute, and I'm going to call Curtis. So, Patriot, Bing, I'm going to go ahead and just more or less kind of turn it over to Patriot, and she can open up while I'm getting Curtis on. We've got some great stuff going on today on smart meters and, you know, how it can affect you and how you can get involved. So with that, Patriot, go ahead, and I'm going to get Curtis on the line.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you. Let me start by making one thing perfectly clear. most people don't realize this, but these smart meters are not mandated by legislation. HB, House Bill 2129, Section 31.005B5 states, a program that encourages the deployment of advanced electrical meters. Nowhere in there does it say mandated. It says it encourages. And where they became mandated to a point is through contractual agreements with the PUC and the utility companies. Now, even the gentleman, the state rep who wrote the actual bill, has sent a letter in now to the PUC, to Nelson, who is the chairman of the Texas Public Utilities. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically what he said was, it was always my understanding that customers would have a choice in whether to implement this technology in their homes. So far, this has not been the case in my district, and my constituents first.
The number you have reached is not in service. This is a recording.
2420.
The number you have reached is not in service. This is a recording.
2420.
I think Michael forgot to take his phone off the line. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
What happened?
I don't know.
Are we online?
Yeah, I'm online, but it started ringing, and then it told me that it was a wrong number. I don't know.
I think that was Michael's attempt to reach Curtis.
Okay. I'm not sure exactly where it cut me off at. Can you tell me where it was, John?
Well, you had just started talking about the fact that Bonin had sent a letter to the PUC that stated unequivocally that this was not his intention.
Okay. So, basically, he urged the commission to correct the oversight, and he has stated that even if there's additional legislative action, he hopes that is not what's going to be required, and he stands committed to ensuring that this issue is addressed. Also, Michael has asked me to briefly share what happened to me on December the 2nd. I want to emphasize to everyone that these smart meters are not mandated. You do not have to take them, but you're going to have to be willing to draw a line in the sand and really make a stand on this. They showed up at my door on December the 2nd, and thank God I knew enough about it to know that I didn't want one and I did not have to take it. So after an hour and a half of dealing with the installation company and the young man having his supervisor on the phone, basically telling him to go around me and also telling him, when I put my back up against my meter, his supervisor told him that what he needed to do was to move me out of the way. Now, these are the kind of strong-arm tactics that these installers are using. And I stood my ground and called the police, and they came out, and I had them out to my house for an hour and a half. It wound up, basically, they told the installation company that they would need to go back to their legal department and get the legal paperwork and then come back if they could get a court order or whatever, come back to install my meter. That was December the 2nd, 2011. To this date, I do not have a smart meter. I'm being harassed with some letters from CenterPoint, but I don't intend to take a smart meter, and you don't have to either. The next point I wanted to talk a little bit about the PUC. There's been several petitions that have been filed with the Public Utilities Commission. Now, it's my understanding at this point that we only have one that is still active, and that would be 40190. We had an open meeting on the 13th where there was another petition and it was denied for the second time, unfortunately. It's my understanding that they're going to be pursuing legal avenues to file a lawsuit, I think, against the PUC, if I'm not mistaken. Everything was dumped into one, which is exactly what the PUC was wanting to do all along, and that is for an opt-out, which brings me to Texans Against Smart Meters. One of the reasons that Texans Against Smart Meters was formed is because of the fact that we do not want an opt-out. Our goal is, and I'm just going to read you very quickly what it says on our homepage. It sums it up very well. It says, Texans Against Smart Meters is an organized citizenry all across the state of Texas demanding an immediate moratorium on the deployment of smart meters until studies regarding the health hazards and constitutional violations of privacy intrusions are addressed. We will be launching a multi-pronged attack regarding these issues related to smart meters, and our greatest agenda is to unite via networking the many groups working on this issue so that we can be an information haven to others and to a place to go where the many voices around the state of Texas can be heard. We will support all of the groups around Texas in their local efforts and turn out in numbers when needed. The Texans Against Smart Meters do not want an opt-out. We want an immediate moratorium, and we want a study, an independent study done on these smart meters. And that's basically where we stand.
Shar, can you explain to the people out there that might not be familiar, because we don't have them in Tennessee yet, but there's probably a lot of other people that are not familiar with a smart meter, what it does, how it works. Can you explain the background? Because I think it's prudent that people understand how that works.
Okay. Well, basically, I believe that Curtis and John are going to be addressing those issues. I just was going to give you an introduction as to, you know, what happened to me and why. For one thing, they're not mandated. Secondly, we have proven out through documentation at this point, we have a lot of documentation as to how these smart meters are affecting us as human beings. Curtis can explain that a whole lot better than I can. And that's part of his talk, so I'm not going to get into that. But there's health issues that are going on. I myself have never had an issue, Michael, with headaches. But I'm going to tell you, even though I don't have a smart meter, everybody in my neighborhood except me has them. And due to the fact that these waves travel, there's radiation and RF waves, and due to the fact that they travel 400 to 1,000 feet, it doesn't surprise me that since March, I don't have headaches during the day. I wake up in the morning after sleeping on my bed. Now, the radiation that's coming off of these meters, I mean, it's just like you're going to sleep for 8 hours and getting an 8-hour radiation treatment. If you stop and think about this, when you go to a dentist office and you're going to have an X-ray, what is the first thing they do? They put a lead shield over you to protect you from the radiation. But yet we have meters.
They also ask you if you had an X-ray in the last 6 months.
Because there's a limit to the radiation exposure that you're supposed to be exposed to. Exactly. They also ask you if you're pregnant. Now, I wonder why that is.
I was just thinking about if you're pregnant and you've got one of these smart meters on the outside of your house.
John Marler here. You are wrong. Tennessee is implementing these as we speak. There's a major organization there called Stop Smart Meters Now, and they're trying to get Tennessee to put a moratorium on them also. But they are being implemented in Tennessee.
They're not trying to put one on my house yet.
Yeah.
I'm just.
That's your key phrase. Yeah.
Well, they will. They will, because things are supposed to be deployed all over Texas.
All over the world.
And they're already in Nevada. I know that. Yes.
I do think it's prudent that maybe we get John or Curtis on here to explain the smart meter operation, how, where it's hooked up, how it's hooked
okay.
up.
Okay.
operates.
Okay, Shar, you want me to do that?
Go ahead and explain how they work, and then let's have Curtis address, you know, how they affect the human body.
Okay, here's the core issue. There is supposed to be internationally a smart grid that is set up over every nation of the world. And through this process called the Han-Nan-Man-Wan structure, the Han is the home area network. And where they're trying to sell this as a benefit to us is that you can get a little box that you buy from a previous vice president of Apple who's created this device. You plug it into your wall, and then from anywhere in the internet, you can determine whether or not your air conditioner should be turned down, whether if it's got the Energy Star certification, you could lower the refrigerator's temperature. You have all this control. But the core issue here is if you can do it off the internet, who can't? Then you have the NAN, which is called the Neighborhood Area Network, and approximately every 50 to 60 homes will have a super meter. And this super meter goes out and collects the 50 or 60 homes data and transmits that to what is called the MAN, the Municipal Area Network, and that is put into the computers to bill you and to do the analysis of what you're doing and so forth, and to give them the ability to bill you on a minute-by-minute basis. What they never tell anybody is that if there is a mandatory design requirement called the WAN, the Wide Area Network. We've had our personal sustainability director here in Georgetown, Texas, literally lie to us and tell us that the MAN, the Municipal Area Network, is where everything stopped, until I confronted her with the mandatory requirement of WAN, and her response is, well, we don't have to tell you about that because it's not implemented yet. And my comment back to her was, if it's not implemented, when it is implemented, like tomorrow, who has control on that? And her response was, well, I guess it'd be a legal authority. It could be somebody in Brussels who thinks that what I'm saying is offensive, and on 110, 115 degree weather here in Texas, he just says, okay, John Marler shouldn't have his air conditioning running, and zaps me and has that authority. We are talking about a 24-hour, 24/7, 365 surveillance device being put on every home in the United States through regulatory, not law passing or anything else like that, but by regulatory fiat to take over the process of anything that we do, somebody is allowed to read it. Now, the problem with, I've been in the computer industry for over 40 years, and we know that there is one axiom that is an absolute law. There's no such thing as a safe wireless network. It's not possible. Anybody that has the smarts can break a wireless network and come in and identify your data and do anything. There are reports of subpoenas being issued to the power company saying, rather than put out a surveillance team at some house, tell me when the power comes on, and we'll send the police out to do whatever they need to do. This is literally household surveillance. The other issue is that there are a number of people who will give testimony that with all your house wiring, all they need to do is modify that chip if it isn't modified already, and it becomes a household listening device and can transmit whatever you're talking about. So we're talking about 1984 Big Brother. The ability to hear what you talk about within your private residence is now being regulated into existence by the fact that here in Texas it's the PUC, in Tennessee it's the TVA, et cetera, organizations are literally denying us two of our most precious freedoms, the ability to choose and the ability to not be subject to a government that issues tyrannical edicts. that was the whole point of the revolution. And all of a sudden we're back into this thing where we're literally, I have documents from various agencies, regulatory bodies and utilities that state unequivocally, you have no choice. You will take this, you will be part of the collective, and you will not have any recourse. But you, if you do not allow us to come in and change your meter, we will cut your power, and you will not have power until you relent. To me, that is a total totalitarian edict by every, by any definition.
That's the monopoly. You have no recourse. What are you going to do? Put up some solar panels and some wind farm? You know, not everybody can do that if they could.
Yeah, and even if you could, the Texas PUC has authority over that by some regulations, and you have to be a part of the grid in order to have solar power.
Yeah, I was doing some research on this, and I did not know about that with Tennessee, but I'm going to hook up with you somehow, and I'm going to get some links from you because I want to stop this too. But there's and just bear with me a second. There's a big scam going on, not just with this, but with everything. Okay, when something comes out that's definitely a scam or there's something that doesn't seem right or smells fishy, these organizations put up websites. So when you go to look, anybody can do it. Just look up smart meters in Google. You're going to come across a website that says "Stop Smart Meters: Fighting for Our Health, Privacy, and Safety." Well, that's done by StopSmartMeters.org. When you click on that, it plays a video that's the opposite of what they're trying to tell you in the header. See,
exactly.
And this is not just this. This happens with a lot of different scams that are out there, a lot of different things. The organization that feels threatened or that is trying to do this will put up fake websites. I don't know if they're fake. There's probably people running them, I'm sure. But they put up these fake websites of information to try to confuse the electorate out there and the people out there as to what is really going on. And you can do it yourself. Just type in smart meters and look around and you'll see. And click on one that says fighting for our health, privacy, and safety, and you'll see that they're all promoting this. Mm-hmm. So to me, there's something behind this. You know, if they're trying to promote this through false advertising, then that right there to me is fishy as heck.
Well, it's going beyond false advertising. They're blatantly lying. All of these utilities here in Texas, we have Oncor, CenterPoint, we have the Municipal Utility District of Georgetown, et cetera. Each and every one of them trot out a chart that was produced by the California Council on Science and Technology. And this chart shows that smart meters are 30 times less than a portable phone. And when you go to the actual text of this report, you see that it is a transposition of text from the manufacturer's manual. And then when we had genuine scientists analyze that report and then do basically the same test, they found that the radiation coming from this is 30 times greater than the overhead power lines, which I don't know if it's in your state, but in Texas, you're not allowed to live within 100 feet of either side of a power grid like that. That is how dangerous they are. They will not admit that, and when I presented our case of Johansson, and there's a number of fantastically adroit scientists that are well-versed in this, that state unequivocally, universally, that they are all in that level or greater. There are some people that actually put them even higher than 30 times higher. But each and every one of them have done their own studies, and each and every one of them have shown and their results. Now, CCST has no evidence of any test whatsoever. They do not provide anybody with any test. We stated in a debate with Oncor one day that why don't you submit these meters to Underwriter Laboratory? Underwriter Laboratory is on a sticker on almost everything I've installed in my house. well, we don't have to do that because it's a commercial product. Why wouldn't you want to do that to put this thing to rest? We don't have to do it, so we're not going to do it. They deny point blank that here's what our sustainability director said: you can believe what you want to believe, we'll choose to believe what we want to believe. That was her absolute statement, and I've got that on video. This is the attitude of all the utilities when it comes to these things. We have documented 45 major medical issues that have been diagnosed as a result of these meters. They are denying that it exists. They deny that it's valid data. It's anecdotal. No, it isn't. It is proven data. We have the American Association of Environmental Medicine coming out and saying, do not put these meters on. We have the American Pediatric Association coming out and saying, do not put these meters on a home. And it does not make a bit of difference to these people because there's so much money coming through the funnel of free money from the Fed that they're willing to do anything and everything to tell you, hey, you've got to have this, and if you don't take it. And what's so sick about the whole thing is they get up before the PUC at this hearing that Char was talking about, and they tell you about the benefits, and they lie about the benefits. They talk about how you can reduce your power bill. Not one person has come to us and shown us a bill that did not jump 10 to 15% each and every time they put one of these things in. They keep bringing in anecdotal people that says we saved 50% on our power bill. When I tried to confront one of the women that put that testimony into the PUC, she refused to even talk to me. And I said, I'll pay you for a copy of your bill that shows that it went down 50%. And she refused to even allow me to know where she lived.
To me, is the capital. This is capitalism. Okay, if I don't want this on my house, I have no real choice.
Right.
I have no real choice. And to me, they're going to strap this onto my house, and I don't look. If I want to pay for extra energy, I want to have I want to be out there playing my music for 24/7 for a week. I have the money to pay for the bill, then I should be able to dictate what I want to buy. And see, in this case, the free market will not work because it is a monopoly. We don't have, you can't just get another power company to come in and put something different on your house. So unless you live off the grid, you're kind of strapped to the dictates and the whims of the politicians and the power companies, aren't you?
Absolutely. And the sick part about all this is those people who have died giving their life for the freedoms and responsibilities and liberties of our nation, they're pretty much dying in vain when it comes to this issue. And this is just one issue. It's all part of Agenda 21, which just is a part of the globalism and the regionalism that's taking place throughout the United States that is just sweeping away our rights and privileges as Americans into this collective that they're trying to form.
Oh yeah, this is all involving the Al Gore cap and trade thing and all that kind of stuff too, with global warming and trying to scare people. Well, global warming we know is a farce, but they just try to scare people it's a $1 trillion business. Has anybody estimated the size of this business for the smart meters?
There's been a rough estimate of $31 billion. For the companies that are doing this, so you can you kind of prorate that, and you can say that it's almost a $1 trillion industry for the United States.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I would just take whatever figure they put out there and just times it by 200.
All I did was just put it out by four times because that's what I figured. But the sad part, the sadness that's involved here is that more and more people are getting hit with these things. We're getting more and more people reporting their medical issues to us. We're referring them to the AAME, and we're talking to them about all this stuff. And we're finding more and more people did not ever know that this was going to happen to their home. They are, these things are coming out. They're being put on the houses without anybody even telling them that it's been done. And that's the horror of it. The way to identify a smart meter rather than an automatic meter reading, an AMR meter, is that on the front face it is mandatory that there is an FCC radio license number on the face of the meter. If you have a FCC license on your meter, then you have what is called a smart meter. And these are untested, unproven, and showing more and more as time passes to be a major, I mean, we're talking about deaths. In one of my discussions with Encore's senior vice president, I once stated, if it is a just possibility, and I'm praying that it's happened sooner that, rather than later, we will have a Nuremberg trial for the deaths that you are causing putting these meters on homes, especially with the elderly and the young. And we know of women, the parents that have had to go out and have Faraday cages built over their children in the house so that they will not go into spasms or epileptic fits or something like that. These meters are the only cause for it, because these children taken out of that home and put into a safe area where the grid does not exist, the kids have no problem. Bring them back into the home, within 12 hours, that child will have an epileptic fit. These are proven factors, and yet the state, in our area, it's strictly a city council, and the city council will not listen to anybody in the city talking about this. They just take the staff's appraisal and say, well, the staff says they're safe, we're going to believe the staff, regardless of what the facts are.
Exactly. Let's hear from Curtis Bennett for a few minutes, if you don't mind. He's got some really phenomenal information, and I'm seeing some questions going on here, actually, on the chat board that I think will be cleared up once Curtis gets to talking.
Yes, absolutely, Patriot, because I'm about two shakes from booting somebody on there.
You are?
Yeah, whatever. Okay, Curtis, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, you got
the
floor.
You guys ready for me to go here? Listen, something very important for all of your discussion on this is that the work that we do, and even for your listening audience and for people that are in a forum and listening to this, what they need to understand for our work here, I would never typically even be in a conversation like this. We are professional troubleshooters for the whole entire world. We've worked in a very specialized industry for over 33 years now. We consulted after 9/11 on security issues that were missed by the entire world. We track forest fires or wildfires through the smoke. We train fire departments. We work for oil, gas, lumber, mines, mills, energy, insurers. We save lives. We save billions of dollars. We are just technical troubleshooters. We develop imaging applications to help industry be able to see their objectives, such as groundwater is considered nature's hidden treasure. Well, we develop an imaging application so that they can actually see this. Now, when we got into this discussion, here's what's so important for all of you is we also lecture medical education for education credits doctors, nurses, dentists, et cetera, require for licensing. And the point behind all of this is to let people know we work for the public. We're not here selling anything. We do everything to help fire departments get their work done, insurance companies to get it done better, cheaper. We work for energy companies. I would represent the same exact information in front of a utility as I did for the Texas Public Utilities Commission. These frequencies, as applied, are illegal and dangerous. Now, here's what happened to me with this. We got called by medical education, and they said, people are complaining about getting sick because of frequencies. And I said, what the heck kind of frequencies would you be talking about? And first they started talking about Wi-Fi in schools. And they said, and I even said at that time, what is Wi-Fi? And they said, this is the wireless internet they're putting in schools to avoid pulling wires to computers. And they said, but children are complaining about being sick. Parents are complaining about them being sick. And I said, as electrical professionals, you cannot randomly blast frequencies around with a reckless abandon. We're not electrically compatible. And when you keep it that simple, you know, our children and all of us do not run at the same frequencies as these frequencies. So what we ended up doing is we ended up providing expert witness at the request of Canadian government's Parliament Standing Committee on Health related to this. We looked into the code related to this, which is exactly the same scientific standards as the FCC uses. And here's the horrific part to think about and why we reported this as an unprecedented environmental and health emergency. It's the only code in the world that I've ever come across that says we don't understand the mechanism linking the frequencies to adverse health effects. We don't understand it, so what we're going to do is we're going to assign a watts per kilogram or a watts per 2.2 pounds of power that your body can take. And so when you look into this code, now our version is called Safety Code 6. Your version is done by the FCC where they adopted the specific absorption rate. Well, imagine this horrible thing. When you're right what Char talked about. When you go to a doctor's office, that's the only place you're supposed to be radiated. They put you in an intended position of use. They protect the rest of your body, and they actually tell you to hold still, and then they take an image. Now, what they did with these frequencies is because they didn't understand the mechanism linking them to adverse health effects, a bunch of greedy, stupid, a bunch of people got together and move these technologies forward where they have no business being employed at all. All it's done is deprive our wonderful economy of the reason we wire things. And here's what's so important with this. It is Health Canada's Safety Code 6 that says if people are hit by these frequencies, which is to be avoided, it'll cause nerve and muscle stimulation. And so for people to think about this, when you're answering your cell phone inside your building, when you're picking up Wi-Fis inside your building, when you're getting these frequencies inside your building, it's causing neurological stimulation of you. Now, something deceptive in the language they're talking about, too, is they talk about the smart meters. And this actually, you know, this is going to come from the Texas Public Utilities Commission and pardon me, Encore's lawyer, where everybody talks about the meter being this low-emission device that's outside a building and not doing a heck of a lot. Well, you've got a whole wireless access network that's talking to those meters. Now, if you look at what Encore's lawyer provided in their questions on what is the geographical area covered by a router that's radiating an entire neighborhood, and their answer is 5 square miles. Encore's response through their lawyer, what geographical area are the collectors covering? 125 square miles. And they want everything within that geographical area to be able to talk to these meters, talk to these devices. And the worst part is what they've created is they've created a literal killing field. They are going to electromagnetically induce pacemakers. We put in pacemakers that you're supposed to stay out of an electromagnetic field. That's a manufacturer's specs. Well, the routers and the smart grid, what they're doing is they're taking the electromagnetic field to your home where they will take out senior citizens. The pacemakers are not designed to be in an electromagnetic field. Ask me this, if I ever thought in a million years I would consult for structural engineers on building issues and say, you can't put these frequencies inside this building, it's going to radiate your structure and you're going to cause molecular earthquakes over 1.8 billion times per second. And what I'm talking here is electrical, you know, this is electricity. This isn't my opinion. You know, I'm only stating everything that I'm saying as an absolutely trained and certified building and electrical professional with this. So you imagine everything within that 125 square miles, and I'm talking bees, I'm talking birds, I'm talking animals, I'm talking children, I'm talking leaves off trees. When I talked to you guys about the fact that we imaged groundwater from the air for the Department of Fisheries and Oceans, where they use our work for their standard, well, this is related to fish spawning. And imagine what these frequencies are going to do in Texas, covering 125 square miles. They will kill everything living, and you will kill all the fish related to this. You know, what these guys are doing is replacing wiring with wireless. And it is just so incredibly dangerous. They're causing, now something that they'll even get into with this, where they actually say, oh, the wattage of these devices, oh, it's just a low wattage. It's not a big deal. What they're leaving out is the frequency conflict. If you went to your utility and said, our grid operates at 60 hertz, why do we have 60 hertz appliances? And they would say, because that's how they run efficiently and safely. They talk to each other on that specific frequency. These frequencies are over 900 million hertz. If they're going with a Wi-Fi frequency, it's 2.4 billion cycles per second. Your brain runs off 8. And anytime you mix frequencies, you're going to cause problems. Now, here's something that also the FCC, and this, listen, this is with respect to intent, but, you know, a whole bunch of stupidity and greed got together on this one because they said the same thing. You know, people are heating up. We know they're heating up. So imagine what they did with their codes. They never said anything about people being electrical. They left out for electrical engineers, for the radiation community, for all those professionals, they left out the fact that humans are electrical. We have millions or billions of frequencies associated with our biological systems. And what they did is they treated us like a chunk of meat heating, where they said, okay, we know they're heating up. Most of it's happening in the first 6 minutes. So we'll just say, hey, Curtis, you're a big guy. So we think you can take this many watts per kilogram of tissue, which is just ridiculous. All that means is you are in the circuit. Now, for people that are want to think about this, now everybody's plugged in a cable TV at their home where you see that little thin wire in that coaxial cable where you put it in there and you have to get it in there and put it in there for that proper connection. All of that surrounding insulation and sheathing is to protect that little thin wire from electromagnetic interruptions, from radio frequencies. And what you have to think about with people is we are that little wire, except we do not have that protective coating at all. Now, something else as well. When you're going to cause molecular earthquakes of buildings, the utility is going to end up picking up the costs because your building's going to violate and compromise building codes. And that's not just a guess. You can't vibrate buildings. If we're going to build buildings in earthquake areas, we design them for that vibration. We are not designing buildings for these vibrations. And these antennas and these routers are omnidirectional, which means they're going 360 degrees and literally hitting everything from top to bottom. They are going to cause interference with your wiring systems. Now, because they also left out the routers and the collectors in their discussion on this, these meters going on your home weren't tested in a full load electromagnetic field, which can account for inaccuracies. Now I know that this sounds horrible enough, but now you take this into the electrical part of this, where I'm dealing with this right now with Illinois and Maryland and different areas. You've got untrained professionals coming onto your property and sneaking onto your properties to install these meters on your home. Now, when they install these meters on your meter base, something that's really important is that meter base belongs to the homeowner. But you imagine this. When that meter goes on that meter base is never, ever maintained, not even for decades. If your building's 50 years old, the meter base has never been maintained. Now you've got an unqualified laborer coming onto your property, swapping out this meter very fast, and they're doing it under electrical load, which is going to just cause arcing, sparking. It's going to take out devices in your home. And then what these guys are doing, and a bigger issue is, they're causing fires in the buildings. And the utilities are being so ridiculous and negligent in their explanation of this, because they're actually saying to people, the meter didn't do that. It was your meter base that did that. Well, yes, the meter base did that because you had this unqualified profession, the unqualified laborer come onto your property and swap that meter out, move it around, break connections that are brittle, not maintain them whatsoever. So even the installation process is causing fires. And you guys think about in places like Texas, fires aren't going to happen right away. They're going to happen later on. As you ramp up that air conditioning load and as you turn on more power in your building, you're going to have more arcing and sparking, and you're going to have fires that are going to fester. And when I say this to you too, we've consulted for industry over 33 years on inspecting electrical equipment under load for every oil and gas industry that there is. And what we do is we troubleshoot this with infrared gear to isolate these connection problems before they fail. Electrical cycling means they're heating up and cooling down, and you're going to get loose and corroded connections. It's just part of what goes on with electricity. These guys are not maintaining your meter bases. They are not changing the meter bases. And sooner or later, and although I'm positive it's already happened here in my area here, we had a pair of twins that were 23 months old got killed in a fire. And here even our fire authority is talking outside their area of expertise and saying it's not the meter. They're not electrically qualified in their opinion. You guys should, first off, if the meters and the frequencies were safe, which they're not, they need to be wired. And if they're going to be wired, you still need journeyman electrician going in there, inspecting these, changing meter bases because they're going to be old. The last thing in the world you want is these guys sneaking on your property. Because you imagine this. If any of you ever touch two wires together and something's plugged in and they spark, well, these guys are coming onto your property without saying to you, if I did that as an electrical professional, I would come to your door with a permit. I'd be bonded. I'd be licensed. I would come to you and I'd say, we're going to shut off your main breaker because we're going to change your meter out. And we're going to shut off that main breaker. Can you please make sure you've protected all your equipment in there? Everything's turned off. You can imagine when they come onto your properties now, your air conditioning might be running, your refrigerators are running, your freezers are running, your computers are running. You've got devices that are running, and that arcing is just causing incredible and horrific electrical problems unto itself. Never mind the fact that here I'm dealing with retired politicians, retired electrical professionals, retired all of these things with pacemakers, where, guess what? These will take out people with a pacemaker. They will interfere with medical and monitoring equipment. It's not designed to be in electromagnetic fields. Same as when you go on an airplane and they say, turn off your cell phone, you're interfering with the communication devices of the aircraft. Now, some of that is going to be true, but guess what? They're interfering with the communications of the pacemaker. They're interfering with health monitoring. They're actually interfering with vulnerable babies. They're causing neurological stimulation of people, and here's what the point is. It's 100%. When they talk about some people being vulnerable, every cell in our body is electrical, and it's not insulated, and we have to protect from it. Now, you imagine this with your body, too. When I talked about these guys saying, hey, it's just low watts, it's not burning you. When electricity goes through walls, listen, we can have electrical problems at 60 hertz, where they'll actually cause problems where equipment is actually trying to polarize or change direction 180 degrees at twice the frequency. So at 120 cycles a second or 60 hertz, these frequencies are going through walls and roofs. They're going through you. They're going through the eggs of your baby girls. They're going through your testicles. They're going into your brain. And as soon as these frequencies go inside you, they are causing you to molecularly try to change direction over 1.8 billion times per second. And if you wanted to try this experiment at home, you could just take a car, you could take anything, and try to flip it so it changes direction 1.8 billion times a second, and things are going to come apart, and you're going to create heat. Now, when I lecture this in medical education, and imagine the shocker for me when they say to me, what's the bottom line with this? And it's extinction. Now, when you get back to your other guests, they're talking about the privacy issue. Here's the horrible part with this. You know, I actually wouldn't even thought of this before. But guess what? The bigger idea for these greedy, stupid people is to get this grid in place because of all the things that he's talking about. When you've got that marketing information available to you to know how people are using their electricity, when you've got that control, when you've you can listen in on people, but at the same time you're going to be neurologically stimulating them. It's illegal. The FCC is using old, archaic, stupid information, and it's just been denied the world. So imagine this. Here's what they left out of the equation. The frequencies from the routers, towers, and everything else radiating entire areas. They left that out. Everybody talks about, oh, it's a low power density. That's very deceptive language. It just means you're under load. Power is watts. They left out the fact that humans, bees, trees, everything in existence is electrical, and they didn't account for that, and it just changes the formula. Every second these frequencies are running and blasting these things throughout your area, They are killing you. They are causing cancers. And here's something as well. Medicine is not even considering this because, you know, this shouldn't be brought to a doctor's office. When you go to your doctor, imagine this again for me to consult in a clinical environment or for our group to do this, and I'm telling doctors, you cannot do a diagnosis now without considering somebody's wireless environment. In our area here, you guys know what sudden infant death syndrome is, or SIDS? We had SIDS rates go up 30% in 2011 over 2010, and just babies being vulnerable because we're all different. We all have different DNA, different hydration, different considerations. And guess what? This can take out vulnerable babies. This is causing neurological problems that is actually going to give criminal elements a reason and a legal excuse to get out of their crimes. And that's even more sickening in itself. But the margin of error on this is zero. It's called electricity. And everybody understands that we're basic electrical units. Don't get caught up in this, hey, there's a low power density, you know, I love technology. I love technology too. I don't use a cell phone. I actually showed cell phone radiation images 10 years ago in medicine where they said, you know, there's a cell phone radiation blocker. And even in the test that they use for the FCC on the specific absorption rate, they use a plastic model of somebody's head. And the plastic model has got the cell phone half an inch away from the head. But when we asked about this, they said, hey, it's just going straight from the antenna to the base of the to a little part of the skull, and that's it. I said, what did you do, and how many cell phone towers are talking to that phone at the same time? And they said, we didn't consider that. So just like the doctor's office, you're being radiated from your feet, your testicles, your ovaries, you know, breast issues. And if you think about this from an industrial perspective, when I lecture this in medicine, I tell doctors, think of a manufacturing process having an electrical problem and you've got cancer within that industry. So the reason they can't do this is, listen, because it's just illegal. You can't hurt people. And it just breaks my heart and makes me damn mad after consulting after 9/11 on terrorism issues that here are our men and women on both sides of the border, overseas, protecting our rights, and we're killing their families back here through our utility companies and through our telecommunications companies. It's just horrible to see and listen even to the Texas Public Utilities Commission, where people are being laughed off when a doctor is saying she is sick, her children are sick. Engineers were on the same in the same area, and guess what they're talking about? They are sick. I talked to one guy in Texas where he doesn't want this meter on his home because he's got heart issues. He used to be an air traffic controller, and he knows this for a fact. You don't go stand in front of those dishes and that radar equipment because you will be killed by those frequencies. And so the importance. Go ahead.
No, I just, you know, I was sitting here thinking, going, okay, you know, maybe, I don't know if this is related or not, but, you know, you think about all these cases of ADD and all these other people that have different mental problems that were, back when I was growing up, was never, maybe it was just not diagnosed. Maybe we didn't have good doctors back then or good science back then, but, I mean, it seems like these cases of just attention deficit disorder and everything else are just getting more prominent and prominent and prominent.
100%.
And you have to wonder where, you know, has our science improved that much? I don't really know, but or has these devices that we've been installing, and you know, laptops and cell phones and so on, have they been creating some of these problems?
The answer is yes. And the reason you think about this is even when I lecture this in medicine, you know, we had lieutenant commanders in the Navy. We had some incredibly brilliant guys step up and said, Curtis, you have to show us how those frequencies are hitting somebody in their feet, hitting somebody in their knees, hitting somebody in their groin. They said, you think about a bullet from a gun. You think about when you go to the doctor's office and they point that X-ray device at you in that dentist chair because we've got an intended position of use. It's the only way that you can use this. And then when we found out, oh, you left out routers and collectors that have no direction because you want to smother an area for ease of hooking up. Older guys know this, is that, you know, there used to be days of old where you would drive through someplace and, listen, you couldn't get cell phone reception no matter what. You'd go through these dead spots. Well, they don't want any more dead spots. And you're 100% right when you think of this. Once you qualify that these frequencies, these routers, these collectors are hitting people from head to toe, when I lectured medicine and work with medicine, I say, what do your nerves do? And they say, they run every function of your body. So when you think about attention deficit disorders, when you think about these neurological challenges, depression, anxiety, sleeping problems, they're playing around with human electricity, and it's really causing electrical hell with all of us.
You know,
an EEG will record your brain waves with sampling rates like 200, 250 to 2,000 hertz, but they can go up to 20,000 hertz. And I've had quite a few of those myself in my life, and I can tell you they can measure things. So if they can measure it, then what's to say that that does not get into your head?
Well,
you, I mean,
100%.
There are bees that will not hang out around cell towers and so on.
When you think about this, bees and birds, we use the Earth magnetic field for navigation. We use a compass for navigation. When you think of that compass is going with the Earth's magnetic field, not a high-speed frequency that's oscillating 900 to 5 billion times per second.
Well, some of us rednecks down here use our wet fingers stuck up in there. So.
I hear you very much. But this is an important thing, because even in our area here, they're calling it, you know, electro hypersensitive. Some people seem to be more sensitive than others. It's really called, using the language of the code here, it's called neurological failure.
You know,
Go ahead, Michael.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was sitting here listening to Patriot Char and then John and then Curtis, especially when Curtis was just talking, a few things that came to mind, but John said something too also that, and I missed most of Char's because I was trying to call Curtis. But anyway, did I understand you correctly, John, on the smart meter, someone, say, with under the umbrella of the UN could sit and monitor our usage and either be pissed at us and we could piss them off and they could turn it off, or better yet, they could just say, you know what, this guy's using a little bit too much electricity. We're going to shut him down for 2 hours.
Well, this John, I guess the best way to give you an answer is London was sold on the benefits of smart meters. And I don't know if you know this, but every day, one of five sections of London is shut down for power approximately for 2 hours.
Okay.
Because they now have smart meters where somebody can make that decision.
Okay, well, I mean, we our grid, with our electricity grid as it is, I know we will have running blackouts, you know, in high peak areas here in the Metroplex, for instance, you know, the very heat middle of summer when it's very hot. But I'm mainly concerned about, you know, that Big Brother thing. Someone just sitting in Switzerland somewhere that says, you know, this one particular guy right here really likes to run his air conditioner a lot. And I guess I'm kind of tying it into that whole green thing, you know, with that the left wants to push on us, and over using that system makes the smart meter makes it easier for them to, you know, pick and choose, this person needs to be shut down and whatnot, as opposed to the meter I have on my house now. I don't know. You know, I guess they have to come out and read it or something to actually know how much I use.
Right, and they can only do it by entire sections based upon your power center, where you're generating, where you're actually controlling that power. So they can shut down in a regional area of your city a brownout or a blackout as they need. But this gives them the ability to pinpoint homes for whatever they want to decide. The question that always comes up, and their answer is universally, that'll never happen. But have you ever heard of a government product or project that did not increase the authority and the regulatory power of that agency?
Yeah, I get tired. I get tired of hearing that'll never happen if the government takes in charge of it.
Right.
You know, the last thing I want knocking on my door is the government. And to Curtis, you were talking about health hazards, and as you were talking about them, I was reminded of two things. I was reminded of a movie, and I know this the movie had nothing to do with smart meters, but there's a point, a method to my madness here. I was thinking about Aaron Brockovich and the chromium that power company used, that they said it would never harm them, yet look at the harm that it caused. And then, two, I'm thinking back to the – I don't know if you're in Texas, but I know that Shar and I guess John is. Back in the mid-90s, we had a rash of babies born down on the border on both our side and the Mexican side of the border that were born without brains. Now, I don't know that they ever pinpointed what caused that. I think – as I seem to recall it was pollution – that they highly suspect. But my point is here we have, you know, pollution that can cause babies to be born without brains, a power company in California that used to use chromium, hexachromium in their water, and said, you know, just trust us, and we're going to have our babies around this radioactive device attached to our house.
You're right, and imagine this, too. It's causing we were actually provided expert witness for a U.S. court case, and one of the gentlemen that was on there as an expert as well, his name was Barry Trower, who developed these frequencies for the U.K. military.
Uh-huh.
And after I provided my declaration, the lawyer said, do you want to take a look at what he wrote in there? And I looked at his declaration under threat of perjury, and I said, you're kidding me. I said, you're talking genetic mutation of ovaries. And you're absolutely right with what you said, because I had a doctor send me some images, and he said they radiated chicken eggs with these frequencies, and they picked wattage, and guess what? The chickens had split beaks, their legs were out sideways. It's causing genetic mutation. And it's just a simple thing that we're not designed to have this electrical interference, never mind in the womb, where... Even we just got called on a legal issue where here's a teacher in a school with Wi-Fi, and she was pregnant the whole time, and one of her colleagues asked me. She said her baby died 3 months after birth because of a defective heart. And they said, could it be related to? And the answer is absolutely yes. So when you compound that with these other issues, and I also want to throw something in there for you guys to consider too, because even in Texas, now I sent this off to your Texas legislature as well. When you start throwing around electromagnetic fields like this, you're going to induce charges on things that have no right to have a charge on them, so somebody's going to walk by and just touch something and it's going to spark. So this is going to affect refineries, gas stations, any areas that need to be explosion-proof. You've effectively taken that out of the equation now by just smothering areas with these frequencies. You know, it's just a horror story all the way along, and something else supporting John as well. We had our retired captain from the Canadian military that specialized in radio warfare, and he said this grid is so absolutely vulnerable from every perspective. And the answer on that too is absolutely correct.
Well, you know, first of all, real quickly, if you guys think it's time. Would like to start getting some question and answer time in with our guests that are starting to call in, because we've got about 35 minutes or so till we got to start closing down the show.
Hey, Michael, can I make one comment?
Yes, absolutely.
Our Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta, in a testimony before the United States Congress, made this statement: our next Pearl Harbor will be an EMT attack. And here we are, forcing everyone to get vulnerable to that attack.
And yeah, capping that off, you think about this. President Obama stated health costs will bankrupt the U.S. government.
Right.
And how ironic is it that the utility and telecommunications company are going to bankrupt the U.S. government? The costs are going to be off the charts with everybody.
Well, he even said our power bills will necessarily skyrocket. Okay, go for your questions now.
Yeah, well, I'm going to start bringing people in. I just wanted to mention one thing, though, about that electricity and frequencies and stuff. I don't know how much truth there was to it. When I went through my military occupational specialty training back in 1982 at Fort Gordon, Georgia, I was just a plain old grunt radio operator. I learned how to carry a prick, what we call the Prick 77 on my back, as well as a few other radios in the event my job should land me in a Willis Jeep, which it did. And one of the radios that I had on there was an old tube radio. It was called the ANGRC 106. And they taught us, never grab that antenna. When you keyed the micro, it would blow your kneecaps out. Now, I never grabbed the antenna, so I don't know if there's any truth to it or not, but it made a lot of sense to me. So,
if you went to a radar site, amazing to know that they've got copper mesh in the walls that is grounded specifically because of what you're talking about, because that building would probably develop a charge that would blow your kneecaps off.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, so Patriot, John, and Curtis, we're going to start bringing in some folks. I've got some lines stacking up here. We're going to start off with Donna Wilson. She's calling in from Dallas, Texas. Donna, how you doing, Patriot?
I'm doing fine. I didn't actually call in for a question. I just wanted to hear more about this, but I'm really involved in it, too, in the smart meters. I don't have one, but they put a mega meter on the house next door to me, and that one was... I went and bought an EF meter. I taught myself about this and learned how to protect myself a little bit. But finally, I got to somebody at Encore named Ted. And he said, to get to him, all you have to do is go to askencore.com and tell him that you're having problems with your meter. It's causing you problems. And they'll get it turned down. And he did. He turned down all the meters in 10 houses around me. And it's made a big difference, although I built, like, Faraday shields to keep it from coming into our house so bad, and they are effective.
I'd like to comment on that first off. Turning them down might seem like a good idea right now, but, you know, I would equate that to, you know, an electrician or somebody being killed by just a little bit of current.
Correct.
There needs to be no frequency. They need to wire these. It's a wonderful economy to wire them safely, incorporating the right professionals.
That's true. And you know what? I met some friends in Oklahoma, and they decided there to use the electric wires to transmit this, not to just transmit it like you're doing it in Texas. But their homes now, I went in with the meter there. Everything in your home that the smart meter radiation hits your wireless in your home, I had to completely wire down everything in my home. I couldn't have any wireless, no cell phone, no cordless phones, old-fashioned television, and I still have too much radiation in my home from the smart meter. But they have... They're really trying to kill people there. My meter went into megahertz measuring stuff in their houses.
But, you know, they'll deny that to your face and before any public utilities commission and so forth. They refuse to provide any documentation for the CCST report. They refuse to provide anything other than the propaganda that they have. And every time people have gotten up to speak against it, they are saying, well, we're funding this anyway because we've got this free money from the federal government and they've ordered us to do this. There is no federal order to do this. There's no state order to do this. It is only coming from the PUC who made it a mandate. And this is what's so revolting about the whole thing. Not one citizen voted on this. Not one legislator was involved in the process of the PUC. And this is all part of the UN takeover of the government by fiat, because they are doing everything they can to eliminate citizen participation in the decision making.
Yeah, and you know, that's something that we really have got to start focusing on. You know, up until recently, I've been focusing on the election and individual candidates, but I'm a member of Patriot Voices, Rick Santorum's Patriot Voices, and have started taking out. Whereas on this particular issue, I've more or less left it to like people like my buddy Char, But what the UN is trying to do is nothing short of steal our country for us on several UN treaties.
And it's being given to them by this administration and by our Congress. Our Congress voted in HB 347, you know, that we're sitting back and we're saying, oh, well, that's just another bill, but it denies First Amendment rights to protest. I mean, there's so many things that are happening that are all part of the mindset. A lot of people want to focus in on Agenda 21 because it is a identifiable action list of activities that are being done, but it's the mindset that is getting so pervasive, and the mindset that's out to destroy today's biblical Christianity. Anything to do with patriotism, it's being destroyed, and anything to do with our ability to have a moral base code. So we go back to Stalin's statement that, you know, if we are to destroy America from within, we must go after her patriotism, her morality, and her spirituality, which all the subsequent writings by him and by Trotsky was aimed exclusively at biblical Christianity.
Well, it's also apathy, and it's just a general lack of knowledge, maybe it's a welfare mentality state that we're in. It's a lack of interest, it's apathy, and just, the welfare mentality. People want what they want to get. And I had a quick question, though. How much extra are they charging you for these meters? Because I know they ain't free.
Well, in Sun City, we're being told by looking at some of the bills, they're being charged $13 a month for the benefit of having their power destroy them.
So not only are they forcing a meter on you that you may not want, they're charging you.
And beyond they're even stating that the meter isn't yours. You cannot touch that meter. It belongs to them. They're charging you a monthly fee to have it.
Oh, it's a convenience fee. Oh, how convenient.
Yeah.
Plus, they've already received billions of dollars to get these things in the first place. So it's a money maker coming at them five different ways.
Well, Donna, thanks for interjecting in there. I've got you on park so you can listen to the rest of the show. I'll probably pull you in just to give a short, how do you do when I do my close down. But guys and Patriot, let's go ahead and bring in. I've got a call from John Trudell who has a question. John, go ahead.
I just wanted to comment to the lady that referred to reading the meters via the copper wires. That is old technology, and almost every meter in existence, I'm told, has that capability. So reading the meters is a complete lie. I mean, they can read them remotely already. And that's my comment.
They have to come and read mine. Patriot, I guess that was addressed to you.
Pardon me? No, that was the other lady, I think, from Dallas.
Donna? Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I know they come and read my meter. So
I haven't seen a meter reader in years.
Huh.
Well, they supposedly have got to have access to my yard now that we've got all this new technology. They've been reading my meter from outside my fence since 1978.
Right.
And I do know that they have been reading it by driving by for several years now with some kind of a handheld deal. They just literally drive by.
That's what I was referring to as an AMR meter, an automatic meter reading meter, and it is a point-to-point, the initiation by the handheld to the meter then responds to the handheld, and it is strictly a infrared beam that's going back and forth between the two for that split, no more than 2.5 seconds to accomplish that, and then they move to the next house. And it is that quick that they can accomplish that.
Exactly, but now all of a sudden, since I'm refusing a meter, John, they have to have access to my yard to be able to walk right up to the meter and look at it.
No, that's a lie, because they're going to come back and charge you for labor.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I do have a question here for Curtis. Paul is already off the call, and he had given a question. I told him, I said, you need to call in and ask Curtis about this. He said he's a skeptic, and he said, I want to know how much more dangerous a smart meter is at 10 feet compared to a cell phone at 1 foot. Are the smart meter transmissions more dangerous than radio / TV broadcasts, which run through us constantly?
The answer to that is in the Johansson report. Curtis will have some for it, but Johansson report states unequivocally that you are almost 30 times or 100 times more powerful than the overhead power beam wires that go across for major carrying of power. That power alone is so destructive that you're not allowed to build anywhere near them.
And here's something. Here's a real misconception. But when they talk about, even in my area here, the utility says this. They say if you step back from the meter 10 feet, you're safe from the meter. And you might be safe from the meter as a radiation device in itself. You are not safe from the routers and collectors that are talking to those meters, and you are effectively inside the wire. The distance isn't going to make any difference. What they've done with cell phones is they've said, okay, cell phones are held against the head, so we think those are the most dangerous. Meters are safer because they're not held against the head. Absolutely not true. Same thing with Wi-Fi in schools, when they say the kids aren't holding the computers next to their heads. They are smothering the rooms with those frequencies and smothering areas with those frequencies, so they can talk to those computers, and you are in the circuit. So if you're measuring a power density, that just means you're in the circuit. You are either way, you are affected. You can be 100 feet away from that meter. You can be anywhere within that 125 square miles. You're being radiated.
All right. Well, let's bring in Brother Danny Schaus from Kentucky here and see if he's got any anything he wants to ask or any comments he wants to make.
Hello,
Brother Danny.
Michael.
How you doing, Brother Schaus?
Just wonderful. This is a problem with the communists getting in control of the regulatory agencies and stuff, that they're killing us with these regulations on our freedom and other things.
Well, and here's
was there a question there?
I think he's knowing Brother Schaus, he knows he's preaching with the choir. but you know, you make a good point, and so much of this, maybe either Patriot or John or Curtis can address this. Now, you said this was not necessarily a bill. This is just some regulatory thing that was passed on the smart meters. Is that correct, or did I miss something somewhere along the way?
That is the only authority that here in Texas was the PUC mandate that they do this, rather than they had no legal basis to do this, and yet they're still doing it because it's now a precedent, and so they're continuing the process. We have no idea if they will do anything or when they will do anything about the open forum that they held. But we there was an enormous amount of data provided to them. We gave them a three-ring binder full of proven documentation that shows that these things are unsafe, unsecure, they're dangerous in every possible aspect, and you throw in the possibility that our next Pearl Harbor is going to be an EMT attack, then it'll be a whole lot easier to send the United States back to the 1800s before power, simply by having one big EMT blast. These are the things that are constantly being thrown out at the regulatory, and the regulators are so useful idiots to this effort to take over through regulation and to grant power to non Democratic performing agencies such as Encore, the city, city CenterPoint, and so forth. This is the horror of it. It's all being granted without any citizen oversight, approval, or anything. It is just one step here, one step there, going after the Christian religion. They're doing anything and everything that is just enormous in activity. And we need a million Paul Revere's to go out and start telling this story so people will stop being apathetic. Apathy is their greatest weapon. Our greatest weapon is exposure. We expose them with their facts, their information, the information, provable scientific evidence and so forth. And, you know, here in Georgetown, I even went before our city council. We got a total out of 47,500 people living here, 44 people to write a letter of protest.
Yeah, and how far did that did it get y'all anywhere? Did it prevent the meters, John? Or
no, well, no, it did not, because out of 44 people out of 47,500, it can't be that serious.
Right,
is the comment from the city council members. I gave them a packet of information, including the Johansson report. There's seven or eight phenomenally great reports. I gave them copies of that. I gave them videos on a CD of the burning of a house because of the smart meter, and there was absolute proof because the guy started filming it when they put the meter in, and the meter is put in. The guy takes off in his truck, and less than 5 minutes later, that meter blows up, turns into a fire, and burns down half of his house. By the time the fire department got out there, they had lost half their house. These things are happening right and left. We have the proof, but I could not get any of our city council members in Georgetown, Texas, to even read the stuff, the material.
Well, you know, I think
the city staff had said these are safe.
I don't know what bothers me most is it. I can't decide whether or not it's the fact that it falls under the umbrella of Agenda 21, which I hate America giving up any of its sovereign rights, or if the possible or potential health issues. I don't know which one bothers me the worst on this issue.
Well, I think they're equally. We're talking about almost a murder pact of the power companies to accomplish what Agenda 21 is designed to do, and that is reduce the world's population by 85%. They can't do that unless they do things of this massive scope. You have a video of Zbigniew Brzezinski, who is currently Obama's national security advisor, telling a reporter that it is easier to murder a million people than it is to control them. So how do they do all these things? It is one little piece here, one little piece there, and it all contributes to that goal of the Agenda 21 so that 85% of America doesn't have a human footprint on it.
The only bad part is anybody here's what happens when I say about when people have talked about Agenda 21 and I talk about greed and stupidity getting together at the same time, is that when you live inside that 125 square miles, it doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just covering that geographical area. It's going to kill you, kill your children, and kill all the above it. And something really important that you can fight with. And, again, John, you imagine this, that when the World Health Organization kicked out a report that said, oh, there's a possible link between cell phones and brain cancer.
Right.
The telecommunications industry jumped on this. They beat up Ole Johansson. They went after everybody and beat him up and said, hey, the word possible doesn't mean a heck of a lot in a courtroom. But as soon as you incorporate, oh, you guys left out the towers and these radiation devices, you guys have got the ammunition you need now to take care of this, because even Encore said, you know, we don't have any control over the frequencies. That's an FCC issue. The frequencies, as applied, are illegal. You cannot radiate people like this to make a living. Even once insurers and lawyers and the health industry find out, listen, they're going to step up. But everybody had that little bit of information missing. And I agree with other parts that you talk about, where technology is wonderful and people are just a little lazy and thinking that this is all fine without understanding that bigger picture.
I give talks all over the state of Texas. time and time again on the scope of the mindset that created Agenda 21 and created the Parliament of World Religions. And the attack is so massive that my image is that it's you take the globe and you put an octopus on it, but the octopus is strangling the globe with a million tentacles, and that is the United Nations.
Well, let's bring in here, if we can, Shar and Curtis and John. Boy, our friend from Alaska.
I think I've created the squirrel monster.
Hello?
Hey, boy, you got the TV on in there?
No, I got my wife talking. Let me. Can I get you to
move? Yeah, knock her out or something.
Please.
Hey, what?
Okay.
Better get email on that shot.
This is our buddy Boyd, where they probably don't even have electricity up.
I was making my last call today because I think by the end of the day, I may no longer exist.
Boyd, what say you? You've been listening with a lot of patience, I might add, to the discussion from Alaska. From where you sit in Alaska, I know you guys just recently got electricity up there in the.
I'm sitting here cranking my generator as fast as I can right now.
Let's talk about a state that likes to go off the grid, that's went off the grid and is staying as far away from the lower 48 as it can. So anyway, what thoughts do you have on the smart meters here, or anything that you'd like to add, Boyd?
Well, you know, not having seen the circuitry in a smart meter and what all it's supposed to do, I'm not going to comment on the aspects of, you know, them being able to listen or do any of that, but the possibilities are there. I do want to talk about the RF and the scare that Curtis is putting in, which I don't believe is there. And I say that because for the last 40 years, I have been working in front of or around RF all my life. And, you know, I've been working from the 450 meg range to the 23 gigahertz range in RF radios. And in all of that time, I have only seen one RF accident, and that was highly concentrated, as an X-ray would be, that a guy took to the head when he opened a piece of waveguide. Now, when you're working around RF and stuff, whose metering is it? The FCC, you know, how your time of exposure, how much power you're getting, and all of that does come into play. You got to realize that every day since humans existed, we've had RF radiation. RF radiation is everything around you, a frequency. Light is a frequency. Dark is a frequency. And there's a way to, you know, to measure those as frequencies. Now, if you're standing right on top of an antenna or right in front of it and stuff like that, yes, you have a very good chance of getting hurt. But if you're outside normally a 3 to 10 foot radius, you're not going to get hurt. Even from when you take into consideration the towers that are around you. You know, if you're on the ground underneath the tower, yeah, there's radiation frequency there, but it's not enough that's going to burn you or hurt you in any way. The farther away you get from it, the weaker the power, and the weaker the signal becomes. you can get it out to a point where, you know, your body will completely stop the transmission of the radios.
Kurt, you want to respond to that?
I'd like to. Now, here again is something that's important to think about. Is now first off, when you talk about a 60 hertz electrical grid, you know, and I talked about the compatibility of frequencies. You know, it is so important electrically to take that into consideration, you know, for the function of an electrical system. And here's what's more important with this. It's Health Canada's Safety Code 6, the same guidelines as the FCC and every international organization that says this. The predominant health effect to be avoided is the stimulation of tissue or the heat effect, because experimental studies show it can lead to nerve and muscle stimulation. So it doesn't have to be a lot of nerve and muscle stimulation. And again, it doesn't have to go deep inside the skin, you know, of course, depending on penetration and power density. But even with distance, you're still going to have the frequencies interacting with frequencies that they're not designed and not compatible with. You know, when we talk about solar flares from the sun, taking out satellites and taking out these billion-dollar satellites, you know, we've got, you know, these frequencies that are taking out the biology and the bug satellites and the human satellites. And although it's very subtle, it is the health standards that says it's causing neurological stimulation. Even the military said this, and we looked at declassified documents. They said, listen, people didn't understand the adverse health effects. And although it is subtle, you think about every function of your body, and whether you might not think it's doing something to you, here are these symptoms from head to toe where it is just adversely affecting people. And so many people. And listen, I agree with you more that I've heard guys say, listen, we can be, you know, in different places, but, you know, you also know this, that if you get caught up within those frequencies, they can seriously hurt you. And the whole point of all of it is now you just heard the other gentleman talk about the fact that, you know, we can measure these frequencies in a body. We can measure this stuff. And that gets back to that precautionary approach on all of it that, you know, I would like to see them, I would like to see the frequencies interact with biological systems, but do that in some type of controlled environment, or use politicians, but to find out if it's actually changing frequencies. Because if you change that 60 hertz grid by just a couple, you're going to cause a couple of hertz. You would cause catastrophic electrical failure. And that's why, you know, that's why when I just talk about that. Go ahead.
I agree with that. Let me just say something. Not many people know. I do have epilepsy. I mean, I have had a seizure or a fit since I was 17. I'm 52 now. And, you know, I was forced or birthed by forceps. But when I walk by a certain lighting, fluorescent most likely, I can actually see the lights flickering when other people around me cannot see it. I mean, that's how tuned my brain is. I mean, I don't know, you know, why, but, and there's other certain things, but, you know, at that point, I need to get out of there, or I just need to walk away. But people don't understand that, I think, the way frequencies work on the human mind. There's been a lot of military studies where they interjected music and they interjected lighting and so on at certain frequencies and so on, and to develop a different type of attitude. Whether, you know, I mean, psyops. Look at psyops. That's what they do. I don't put this far out of the realm. I mean, I would like to see a lot more data on this subject, but to come to a conclusion on it. But I'm just telling you, for my own sake, you know, I know when I go by a certain thing, I know what I can hear it humming. Other people don't. I can see it blinking. Other people don't.
About that electrical incompatibility. Now, when you look at the fact that even you're talking about having seizures, you know, look at seizures. Even when we dealt with this with both veterinarians and medicine, where they said, you know, this isn't necessarily hurting people. It's just like a little computer or an electrical or neurological glitch. And that's what would scare me with any part of this. When you talk about even forceps or at birth, you imagine this, that all of us are born under those different circumstances with different vulnerabilities, and we just need to be looking at this before we start raging this and smothering areas where we don't know what the heck it is doing. We haven't informed all the people. The fact that they left the towers out of this, the fact they left the antennas out of this, or collectors covering all these square miles, that should be alarming into itself.
Well, yeah, they refuse the data, you know. They just don't want to see it. They don't want to listen to it. You know, they just don't want to implement it. So, and it goes back to Agenda 21 and the carbon tax credit deal and all that scam and that kind of thing. But
Here's something I wanted to interject with this a little bit too. Is now and again something that I dealt with physicists where, you know, these guys said, Curtis, you know, we are surrounded by frequencies, which is the absolute truth. Everything in existence is absorbing and emitting energy at different frequencies, but with the light frequencies, you know, we can't suntan in our basements because these frequencies aren't going through walls and roofs and going through this material and all the above. So we just need a lot more caution and a lot more work done where all the professionals were invited to this party, because even when they asked me, they said, Curtis, you know, you're seem to be a bright guy, but why aren't more electrical professionals picking up on this issue? And I said, we can't use people for conductors. We can't use them for any of these issues, but as we know this for a fact, if you mix frequencies, you're going to get a resultant frequency. And if it's not electrically recognized, you're going to have problems.
Hey, guys, I need to jump in here. We're starting to run out of time here. Got one more caller I just want to get on, and then I just want to give you guys about 30 seconds to a minute just to recap. Kurt, we're starting to run out of time, but I want to bring in my buddy Kurt. You've been listening patiently to the host show. Did you have anything that you wanted to interject on or any thoughts that you had on this?
Did I hear you call my name, Michael?
Yes, sir, you did. Did you have any thoughts on the smart meters, or you've been sitting
Look, man, you're talking to a guy who is likely to throw the main to change a light bulb, okay?
Well,
this has all been very interesting. I'm not smart enough about this kind of stuff to even ask an intelligent question on it. I want to inject this thought, though, thinking ahead to next week. I want to give consideration to bringing a guy on maybe next week who is running for the U.S. Senate as an independent. That is Dr. Sean Crowell. Bing has heard the name. Bing, you and I will talk about this later, okay?
Yep. Yeah, for information, Kurt. All right, brother, stand by. We're going to start back up here at the top. I want to thank our callers, Donna and Danny and Boyd from Alaska and Kurt from Tennessee and Danny from Kentucky and Donna from the great Lone Star State. Thanks. You guys just hang tight. We're fixing to bring the show to a close. Bing, let's start with Sister Shar down in Southeast Texas. Shar, if you give me about 30 seconds to a minute, and John, you'll be on deck. We're getting dangerously close to the end here.
Well, basically, I just wanted to let people know that, you know, there are things that we can do. The issue is being fought all over Texas right now, and actually, we have a lot of the state reps and senators, the legislators in general, that are on board with this. We've got several directions that Texans Against Smart Meters are attacking right now. So if anybody's interested in helping and learning what they can do, please go to TexansAgainstSmartMeters.com and send me an email, and I'll be glad to get with you. We've got people all over Texas that have joined in.
And if you're not in Texas, speaking to all of our fine guests in the chat room, look to see if there's a local state, your state, against smart meters. We know there's one in Tennessee. I know they have smart meters in Nevada. And real quickly, Patriot, before I move to John, Patriot is going to start being a once-a-month regular guest. Bing and I, Soldiers of Patriotism, Conservative Nation Radio shows, wants to delve deeper into the Agenda 21 issue, and Patriot, along with her many Many folks like Curtis and John and her network are experts, or at the very least, in quite a bit more intelligent on this subject than I am. So Patriot will be on the 7th of October. Details on that show and how Patriot wants to take that to be coming. John, thanks for being on the show today. 30 seconds, a minute, your final thoughts. And
well, if there's anybody that needs to have any information, have them contact us about Agenda 21 or the New World Order. That's my topics that I talk about, and I point out that Agenda 21 is a mindset that is out to destroy everything that we hold dear and near, and we have to have exposure, and we have to have people rise up against this monster that is for eating on our liberties. So anything that can be done and everything that can be done, simply, you know, I think you can contact me through Michael. If you don't, I can give my email address is jmarler, M-A-R-L-E-R, at marfam, M-A-R-F-A-M, .com.
All right, well, I've penciled you in with Patriot then on the 7th of on the 7th of October. All right, Patriot. Curtis Bennett, come on in here. 30 seconds to a minute. Final thoughts. Any place you need to send people, go right ahead.
This is something to think about for, you know, our website is thermalguy.com. And here's the important part again. We are not lobbyists. This isn't insurable. Your politicians haven't been told yet that the fact they're being radiated, the frequencies are illegal right now, and the FCC's information on safety is no longer applicable. And it's horrifying for us in lecturing and as well as imaging in medical education. Now we're being asked to look at brain cancers, testicular cancers, and different cancers associated with all of this. People need to pay attention for your lives, and it's just this simple. We're not electrically compatible. Environmental groups need to get involved, and more people need to be involved for the sake of our children and for the sake of all life. It's not insurable. And listen, thank you guys very much for putting on this very progressive program. It's an issue people need to be involved in.
Thank you very much, Curtis. And be sure and drop your links in the chat room. We'll get some Patriot. Has sent me information. I'll get more information out on my network as being Will. I'm sure we could probably look at some of that stuff on traditional American movement, Bing. Great, another great show, brother. I just wanted to mention real quickly, Bing, and then I'll give you a few minutes to of the floor there. Next Sunday, folks, Carl Higbee, ex-Navy SEAL, author, Battle on the Home Front. I urge you to go to battleonthehomefront.com and read up. Download the book. You can get it for $10 on Amazon.com. It's 143 pages. Easy read. Join us next Sunday for Carl Higbee, ex-Navy SEAL and author of Battle on the Home Front. The following Sunday, Uncle Bing, who do we got booked?
We got Harry Glossenberg. And he's the author of Resident Bean Bang Bible. And it's a great read, man. It just makes you feel good about yourself, you know, because it's just something about his style of writing. It just makes you feel good. You can recognize that, okay, yeah, you've got some issues with your life and so on. But look, man, just love people. You know, it's just a great read, man. Can't wait to get him on the show.
Yeah, and we're really getting stuff booked, Bing. We've got then on the 7th of October will be our next Agenda 21 installment. Patriots already agreed to it. It sounds like we might be penciling John there as well for that show. And then on the 14th, our friend, our buddy, who escaped with her life from Romania, from Tautesco, Virginia Proden, is going to update us on some freedom of speech issues. And it sounds like Brother Kurt had a suggestion we might want to try to get in at some point, Bing.
Karen Brother, Bracken.
We've had a great listenership today.
Yeah, we got Karen Bracken. I'm going to try to get in. We got Lori Day, and that'll all fit into the Agenda 21 thing. And I'm working on the producers for Atlas Shrugged right now. So if I can pull that off, man, then you owe me a cigar.
Absolutely, brother, absolutely. Well, Bing, it's about that time, and I want to have a few minutes to play our outgoing song. I just want to finish up by saying to everybody that's listening to our guests, thank you very much for joining Being and I today. We're honored that all of you great patriots will spend a Sunday afternoon with us. This is what it's all about, folks. This is how we stay active. This is how we get motivated. And Being and I try to bring the best guest we can to you and give you the best information that you need to make the best decisions in your life. Most of us are Tea Party. And, folks, the Tea Party has determined itself. It's awoken in people's spirit, the spirit of Madison and Jefferson and Adams and many other noble hearts who sacrificed much to leave us the country we've enjoyed for 236 years. Yet that we see slowly fading into the pages of history as a once great nation, a leader of nations, an industry, and of freedom. And we've all undertaken the personal responsibility to extricate our country from the complication of evils and place ourselves back in the possession of the American dream, the prosperity our founders fought and died for. And I know that we can deliver America from this hydra-headed monster that we call the federal government, led by a man who's letting our ship sink in rough waters, a man who has, in fact, abandoned ship. And I know that you all have it within yourselves to help steer our ship into calmer waters and slay the beast that threatens our very way of life. Until next Sunday, I'm Michael B., along with my brother Uncle Bing, saying have a great week, and God bless America.
Amen.
Bourgeois town.